standing ovation for these remarks on the Biden administration's commitment.
America's commitments must be honored. America's security must be defended. And America's word must be kept.
Turning to the war in Gaza, CBS's Rami Innocenzo has a look at Israel's current strategy.
The focus really is on three strongholds and especially Khan Yunis in the south. The belief from the IDF is that Yahya Sinwar, the alleged mastermind of the October 7 terror attacks, is someplace in Khan Yunis.
It's another day of cleaning up and trying to exhale after Saturday's tornadoes in central Tennessee.
We all hunkered down in the floor, and then the next thing we know, it just sounded like an explosion went off. You could hear stuff flying everywhere. It was crazy.
Six people were killed, dozens more injured. CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A new poll suggests more people in Wisconsin are buying guns for self-protection. The Journal Sentinel and Marquette University polled 354 Wisconsin gun owners recently. It's the most extensive survey of Wisconsin gun owners' opinion so far. Roughly half of Wisconsin's homes have guns in them. 3 to 8% of Wisconsin gun owners say they've pulled a trigger in self-defense. Governor Evers says he'll veto any attempt to do away with the Wisconsin Elections Commission. He tells Upfront on WISN-TV he would never agree to a Republican bill to shift the powers of the agency to the Secretary of State. Evers says the Wisconsin Elections Commission does a good job and has a good leader. Many Republicans have been unhappy with the Elections Commission since Donald Trump lost the 2020 presidential election. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Rudolph Country Christmas saw hundreds of visitors on Saturday. The annual event began in 2002 and is probably the busiest day of the year for the Rudolph Post Office. Visitors come from all over to have their holiday cards hand-stamped with Rudolph, home of the Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer stamp. Becky Trebatowski from the Post Office said they estimate 12 to 18,000 cards and letters will be hand-canceled during the one-day event. If you missed it, you can still get the unique postmark by special request before the end of the year. The Wood County Sheriff's Department joins the Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over holiday campaign. It begins this Friday and continues through New Year's Day. The campaign works to prevent impaired driving crashes and ensures everyone can celebrate safely. Sheriff Sean Becker said the goal is to save lives and make sure everyone makes it home for the holidays. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News. The morning show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
Where you commit to walking 3 miles or doing 30 minutes on a bike every day in December.
You know, that's good. That's a decent goal. I have that goal. You know how many days I've reached it in the last month? One. Obviously, exercise produces endorphins, and endorphins make us happy, and happy people don't kill their husbands.
Weekdays from 8 to 10, right here on Locally Grown Radio.
Packers on Monday Night Football. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers and Giants in prime time kickoff at 7:20. Defensive back Jair Alexander has missed the past 4 games with a shoulder injury he suffered against the Rams and was asked, would he play against the Giants?
You know, I'm the type of person I always want to put my best foot forward, you know. So I feel like if I can't put my best foot forward, then it's just tough to even be out there, you know.
Yesterday, before they got on the plane, the Packers ruled Alexander out for tonight's game. Women's college basketball. The Badgers had an early lead but lost 87-65 to number 3 ranked Iowa, and the Hawkeyes star player Caitlin Clark. What made the day special was attendance. Over 14,000 fans sold out at the Kohl Center. Iowa's head coach Lisa Bluter.
Yeah, the growth of our game, I've been a part of it really almost since the beginning, and to see where it's come, it's so exciting because, you know, this was something that you only dreamed of, and now it's happening on a regular basis. I just love the attention that women's basketball is getting right now because it deserves it.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. High of 32 this afternoon under partly cloudy skies. Winds out of the southwest 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows around 22 tonight. High of 28 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 22.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Everyday people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How do you locate a support group for widows or housing for an elderly parent? United Way's 211 is free and confidential and provides answers to these questions and more. Dial 211 for community information and referrals, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Haven't been checking out Director's Cut lately? Well, here's some of the guests you may have missed.
Local legend from Four on the Floor, musical magician, one of my favorites, Pete Ravel. Michael Charles, Chicago Blues Hall of Fame, a man who has played with Buddy Guy.
Bria Krieger,
joining us, a local artist.
To welcome to the WFHR stage, the legends, the lizards themselves.
Best-selling author, Mystery Science Theater 3000 legend, Midwest's own Mary Jo Peel.
Director's Cut, every Sunday night from 8 to 9 on Locally Grown Radio.
Wisconsin enjoys a rich history in broadcasting, which we celebrate at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. I'm Michelle Vetterkind, president of the WBA. We honor those who have devoted their careers to serving their local communities as legendary broadcasters. They are personalities, owners, and
where are the rapids in Wisconsin Rapids? A stretch of water through the city was once called Two-Sided Rapids as it split around a huge boulder. But in this particular area, the boulder and rapids were lost due to dams being built with the goal of capturing the river's power in the early 20th century. For locally grown radio, WFHR, I'm Terry Barr.
All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, going right to the front lines of history in the making. A lot of blockbuster stories over the weekend, but the biggest blockbuster to me was the announcement. It was originally broken on CNN, and then it appeared in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today, that Kenneth Chesbrough is cooperating in the Wisconsin Department of Justice probe against the fake electors. And I went, probe? What probe? We've been talking for a long time that we are the only state, apparently, other than Pennsylvania, and that was a different circumstance, where the Justice Department in the state is not investigating the fake electors. But it turns out, if this reporting is to be believed, that Josh Call's office is investigating the fake electors. I'm very happy about that. Very, very happy about that. I mean, you can argue, well, it's a little late and all this. Better late than never. Better late than never. And one of the things that I think helped this was that settlement, we talked about that, a couple of days ago, the settlement of the civil case, these people admitted that they had done this and that it was wrong. They admitted it. Ken Chesbrough, he's originally from Wisconsin. Ken Chesbrough is the guy who is one of the chief architects, along with John Eastman, of the theory of how Trump would stay in office and overturn the election. The theory, and I'll boil it down real quick, was something like this. All 50 states certified their electors. Their governors and secretaries of state signed off, and many of them were Republican governors. Many of them were Republican secretaries of state, but they all signed off. But there is a provision that they would then be presented to the vice president, who would receive them. That's a ministerial function. In other words, that's just a no-brainer function. That's not a policy function. If the vice president had the flu, or were unconscious, God forbid, injured in a car accident, something of that nature, you have somebody else do it. It's a question of ceremonially presenting them to the Senate, ceremonially presenting them to the full Congress. And Pence was available. Some Secret Service agents who were in on it tried to kidnap him. Said, remember, the insurrection was the cover. All that was the cover. Trump knew it, to cause a disturbance. And then they said, listen, Mr. Vice President, get in the car here. We're going to, for your safety, they're going to whisk him away. And then there would have been doubt who was going to receive it. They wouldn't have been received that day. the Republicans would have said, well, that's therefore it's in the House of Representatives. Under that provision in the Constitution, each state gets one vote. California gets one vote, even though it might have 56 congressmen. Wyoming gets one vote, even though it has one congressman. And more than half of the states have Republican congressional delegations. Not because they have a lot of congressmen, but Wyoming has a congressional delegation that's Republican simply because it only has one congressman and two senators, and they're both Republicans. All three of them are Republicans. That was the deal on Chesbro. And Chesbro pled guilty to a felony in Georgia. Chesbro pled guilty. What he did is he got no jail time. But he agreed to cooperate. He agreed to cooperate with Jack Smith. He agreed to cooperate now in Nevada. And now he's cooperating in Wisconsin. I was glad to hear it. It sounds to me as if Josh Call has opened an investigation. And what's made a lot easier for him, is that in that settlement agreement, the fake electors all agreed that what they had done was wrong and trying to overturn the election. That the document in the civil settlement, the fake electors stated that the document, the fake elector document, was part of an attempt to improperly overturn the 2020 election results. Before that, what they had said is that it was simply done to maintain all legal avenues. Now, let me tell you something. That in itself is a fraudulent statement. They just contradicted it. But more importantly, that's not a defense, and this investigation and prosecution should have occurred a year ago. And why do I say that? Because you've all heard the phrase, ignorance of the law is no excuse. So when they go, well, it's to maintain all legal avenues, you had no legal avenues. All of the courts that looked at it, including the U.S. Supreme Court, said that there was no fraud. Certainly not fraud that would overturn anything. There are occasional Republican voters who voted twice because they had houses in the city and houses in Lake Country and that kind of thing. But it was a handful of cases, nits and lice, and it did not impact the overall vote. Now, the Secretary of State, Sarah Godlewski, has gotten on the bandwagon, and she has stated publicly that at least Spindell was a fake elector. He's also on the Wisconsin Election Commission. And she correctly pointed out that if you have a guy who now has signed a document saying that it was part of a fake elector attempt to improperly overturn the 2020 election results, he can't be on the Wisconsin Election Commission. That's like putting an arsonist in the fire department. You cannot do it. I think this is a little late, and in the scheme of things, they should all be criminally prosecuted. And I assume that that's what Josh Call is looking at. So he has that. Now, the other interesting thing will be, what will Josh Call do about Ron Johnson and Fitzgerald and Voss? They were part of the conspiracy. And why do I say that? They were part of the conspiracy because Ron Johnson had the fake electors from Wisconsin and Michigan in his possession and had his chief of staff try to palm him off on Pence's chief of staff. Pence had chickened out by that point. He's no great moralist. He chickened out. He was thinking to go along. He said, oh, my Marine son told me not to do it. Yeah, well, I think what he realized is that if he pulled something like that, tried to pull that off in the United States, he would be in very deep trouble. So he didn't use the fake electors, but Ron Johnson tried to palm off on him. Fitzgerald and Voss arranged for the conference room and arranged for it to be sneaky and secret, not tell the press, not listed on a marquee, not tell anybody. You know, I can't believe these guys. I mean, they've been in politics a long time. You think stuff like that stays sneaky and secret? Ever? Are you kidding me? You don't think staffers know? You don't think janitors know what's going on? So now the question becomes, how long will this investigation take? Right now, he has Chesbro talking to him. Josh called this, apparently, which is great. He has the document from the settlement. That's great. But now, he should convene a grand jury or a John Doe and subpoena the 10 fake electors and Ron Johnson and Fitzgerald and Voss and have them come in. You know, the congressmen and the senators who were subpoenaed in D.C. blew it off. And they didn't get in trouble because it wasn't really a subpoena. They were asked, they were tickled under the chin with a turkey feather and say, would you please come in and talk to us, blah, blah, blah. A subpoena from the Attorney General of Wisconsin to them, they can't blow that off. They have to move to quash it. Or they have to move for a protective order to limit things or whatever they want to do. But ultimately, this court's going to tell them to testify. And they got to testify under oath. They can take the Fifth Amendment. You know, what does Ron Johnson do? I know what he did. Remember, the one reporter, he said, wait a minute, on the phone. She said, you're not on the phone. I can see the screen. He said, well, it was only for a few seconds. We might kill a guy. It takes less than a few seconds to pull the trigger. What do you mean a few seconds? What he meant was he told his aide, give Pence these fake electors. And the guy said, yes, sir. And that took 3 seconds. Okay. Give me a break. Give me a break. Now the question is Call going to go against Johnson, Fitzgerald, and Voss? It would be an epic thing to do. It would be the correct thing to do. It would be a courageous thing to do. And it would be an historical thing to do. It should be done. And why do I say that? Fannie Willis isn't even the attorney general in Georgia, and she has indicted, criminally charged Trump himself, Giuliani, and Mark Meadows in Georgia. Well, let me tell you something. When it comes to the hierarchy of the big kahunas, I would say that Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, and Mark Meadows are higher up on the totem pole than Ron Johnson, Scott Fitzgerald, and Robin Voss. There's plenty of cover here, plenty of cover. But I'm glad to see that Chesbro is cooperating. And frankly, with that settlement document, where they flat out say, right in this settlement document, this document was, with my signature on it, by the way, that was their signature, was used as part of an attempt to improperly overturn the 2020 election results. I mean, what more do you want? As criminal defendants, if Josh Call charges them, they don't have to take the stand. They can't be subpoenaed in a criminal case to take the stand. They can take the Fifth Amendment. They do not have to testify. At the end of Josh Call's case, he'll put on Chesbro, who will say that he met with some of these people and that he instructed them to keep it secret. And they've admitted that it was part of an attempt to improperly overturn the election. The judge will then look at counsel, defense counsel, say, counsel, do you have any witnesses? What is he going to do? What's whoever representing them going to do? Was he going to put on an expert witness to say that they, by saying that, didn't necessarily mean it was criminal culpability? Give me a break. Give me a break. We did not fall off the turnip truck on the way into town here, okay? None of them will testify. And when they don't testify, I'll tell you what, I know what that jury's going to do. I'll tell you what, very exciting. Coming up, the Texas Supreme Court stops a woman whose life is in danger from having an abortion. I can't believe this.
Backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Wisconsin Public Schools open doors for all students. I'm Peggy Wirtz Olson, a Wisconsin teacher and president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council. Public school educators and families work together to reach, teach, and inspire Wisconsin's next generation of leaders. As we head back to school, we hope you'll join us. WEAC, we teach, we inspire. Find out more at weac.org.
Please join the leadership team from Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors and tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. Our next show is coming up and we'll be talking about those things that are important to you, whether you're a buyer or seller. So please tune in on Tuesday afternoons at 3:30, where we'll be highlighting all things real estate.
Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors is your trusted source for real estate solutions. Tuesday afternoon at 3:30, right here on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
967-2789. I'll tell you, an unbelievable decision in Texas. And this really, really, really highlights what the six tarantulas did on the Supreme Court in overturning Roe v. Wade. And just so we're clear, it was actually five of the tarantulas. And you may say, what? Yeah, it was the Mississippi case, Dobbs versus Mississippi. Six of the tarantulas upheld the 15-week limit of the Mississippi statute. But when it came time to overturning Roe v. Wade, which was not even implicated in this, they didn't have to do it. Roberts backed out. It was 5-4. It was five of the tarantulas. However, there is a doctrine, a core doctrine. If you go to law school and you take constitutional law, one of the first things you learn is if you can decide a case without deciding a constitutional issue, do it. A constitutional issue is a last resort. That is law 101 on constitutional law. In other words, if you can decided under the state constitution, under a statute, under common law. What's common law? Common law is a whole series of court decisions going back hundreds of years. And sometimes I've seen briefs that cite court decisions from English courts 400 years ago. And that's, of course, coming less and less in favor. But it can be common law, it can be statutory law, it can be the state constitution. At all costs, stay away from the constitutional issue if you can. And these clowns, the five tarantulas, after they've already, in that decision, said that Mississippi's 15-week ban was okay, they could have stopped. That was the only issue in front of them. That was the only fair issue in front of them. And what the tarantulas did is say, well, what the hell? We'll knock off Roe v. Wade. 50 years of stuff. Unbelievable. Anyway. This poor woman, Texas, I think she's 31 years old. She's married. She has two kids. She's carrying a baby that is not going to survive. It will very likely will die before she gives birth. And if it doesn't, it'll die right afterwards. And more to the point, it'll only make her sterile, but it could kill her. Now, Texas is so benighted. Think about this. What, are you supposed to have 3,000 lawsuits every year when a woman's life is in danger? You're supposed to have them get 3,000 lawyers, 5,000 lawyers, 10,000 lawyers? This decision is a matter of privacy, and it's a matter of a woman's privacy, and it's also a matter of her getting the best advice she can from a physician. There's no physician and no woman who seeks this out or wants this. This is a terrible thing. This is a terrible thing. However, at some point, the decision should be made by the woman, and she gets good advice from her physician, and the state shouldn't be involved in it. In this case, the judge who looked at it immediately said, yeah, you can absolutely go ahead. Granted a relief. This guy Paxton, the attorney general down there, he is a really bad guy. You may remember from some prior discussions. He's under criminal indictment down there for fraud and bribery. And because it's the Texas state system and they've been protecting him, this is going back 5 years. 5 years, and he keeps getting delays. He's the guy who then said, and this is even before he appealed, he said, if a doctor performs that abortion, I will criminally prosecute him. That is an unconstitutional threat. If a court says, for instance, this is the law, and you prosecute somebody, you threaten to deter them from exercising their rights under that law because you're the attorney general, what that does is it chills the desire of any OBGYN to provide that care. Why? Because the doctor could hire a lawyer, and with all the fees and the appeals, it could be 50 or 100 grand. He could do that, or she could do that. Insurance company won't pay for it. They will very likely lose, maybe, in the Texas Supreme Court, probably win, even among the tarantulas. But there is another rule of law that most people don't realize, even some lawyers, and that is, if a judge enters an injunction, even if it turns out to be the wrong injunction, even if it's crazy on its face, disobeying it is a separate offense, even if it's irrational and even if it's overturned. And what that implicates is here, the Texas Supreme Court stopped the woman from having an abortion. That is so clearly unconstitutional. She has a right to privacy under the Ninth Amendment. She has a right to privacy under the Ninth Amendment, just like she has a right to buy birth control pills. The difference between our democracy and authoritarian countries, communist countries, jihadist countries, all these countries, is that you have a right to privacy. You have a right to privacy. But except in Texas, where they have the snitch bounty. So we'll see what happens. The Texas Supreme Court, I like to see them arrested, quite frankly. And that's an overstatement. I understand that. But that was not in good faith. That was not in good faith that they tell this woman, and then we have to wait and see. What do you mean you wait and see? There's medical issues here. Gina Beauclair, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Gina?
Boy, great subjects today, Matt. Good show. Yeah, you know, they're anti-women. All women need to get the heck out of Texas, and women need to band together to get these dangerous people out. I mean, there's zero respect for women's health and their lives, and it's showing right up. And, you know, we should put a big sign with all kinds of lights on it. Don't go to Texas, ladies, and don't go to a lot of the states. This is horrible. These are men making these decisions and some bad women, I'm sorry to say, but God dang it. Matt, I just can't believe it. It's like I never thought I'd see this in my lifetime. And then, you know, to see, you know, Donald Trump and these people that are still kissing his feet, and then, you know, and then people being concerned about maybe not voting for Joe Biden. Are they goofy? I hope people are waking up here, because these people are dangerous and they don't care about anybody, especially women, but they don't care about anybody. Thank you very much, Matt, for this subject, those poor women. I say last prayers for them. Bye-bye.
Right. Thanks a lot. Yeah, well, she's 31 years old. She has two kids. She'd like to have more, apparently. And what right to privacy is she? You at least have the right to the privacy of saving your own life, I would think. The right to privacy of saving your own life. I mean, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life comes first. It's your life. She makes that decision. Here she has medical testimony to back it up. I mean, what happens if she's on an operating table and she's going to die? Is the doctor supposed to get the hospital lawyer, or at his own expense, ask a judge if it's okay to provide care? I mean, seriously, you can get sepsis. You can die. And if she does die, how many other people down in Texas are expected to go, okay, well, I'll wait till I get the injunction lifted? That's absolutely, absolutely disgusting. Coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather, and the Regents reject the deal with Voss.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your News Talk and Sports Station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
7 Media News, here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says the deal the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents rejected Saturday was his best and final offer. That deal would have unlocked $32 million for state universities in exchange for a freeze on diversity positions. Governor Evers is also suing to unfreeze the pay raises. He spoke with WISN-TV's Upfront.
I think these are distractions, and frankly, I don't like them because it's just a small number of people making decisions that have already been made.
One of the regents who voted against the deal says it would have sold out minority students for millions of dollars. There's a new effort to curb predatory lending in Wisconsin. Senator Andre Jacques' bill would limit interest rates on payday loans. A study 2 years ago found interest on payday loans in Wisconsin averaged 516%. I'm Terry Bell. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. It may be December already, but that doesn't mean you can trust the ice. Here's Brittany Merlot with more details.
With the warmer temperatures last week and more above freezing highs headed our way, ice in many areas is poor. Don't forget that 4 inches is needed to be safe to walk on, and 5 inches is needed to hold small groups and to ice skate. But also keep in mind that there are likely large variations in ice thickness over short distances. Just because the ice is safe in one location does not mean that the entire pond or lake is safe, and rivers are a particular concern with the current rushing below it. Clear ice is usually thicker and more solid than white, gray, or snow-covered ice.
The annual holiday party date for USW Local 59 has been announced. The party will be at Bullseye Golf Club on January 6th. Happy hour starts at 5. The dinner will start at 6. Contact your union representative for tickets. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going, baby.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Badgers headed to the Final Four. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. For the sixth time in the program's history, the Wisconsin Badgers women's volleyball team is headed to the NCAA semifinals. Now, Wisconsin's going to face Texas this Thursday in Tampa, where the games will be held. This comes after they got past Oregon 4-1. After the win, head coach Kelly Sheffield on the emergence of Sarah Franklin, who led the team with 18 kills.
She has worked really hard on her game. There's just not too many people right now that are playing at the level with the confidence that she's playing in. All of that has come with a lot of work behind it.
NFL, the Packers are in New York on Monday Night Football against the Giants. Green Bay has now won 4 of their last 5 games. Just how good can they get? Tucker Kraft.
We don't know yet. You know, it's I can't tell you what our ceiling is. I can only tell you that we got a long way to go still.
That's Packers rookie tight end Tucker Kraft. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. High of 32 this afternoon under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the southwest 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows around 22 tonight, high of 28 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 22.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is The Shaw.
WFHR.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind, Wisco Paul?
Good afternoon. Good show, as Jeannie says. You always have a good show. My first question is, Ron Johnson is up to his neck in the fake electors, and he probably should be thrown out of the Senate for what he did. And if he does, if it gets that far, does Tony get to appoint somebody, or is there a special election? And my second question you're about to get to, I don't understand the regions turning down that deal. I know it wasn't a great deal, but it seems to me you're hurting the working person at the UW more than Voss. And for Voss saying he wouldn't do anything after this, that's also nuts. So that's my two things today. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, excellent questions, Paul. Let's take them in order. The first one is, no, Evers does not get to appoint someone. Some states, that's what happens. They appoint them for a limited period of time. Sometimes it's till the next election. Sometimes it's for a short period of time. What happens in Wisconsin is if there's a vacancy, if, for instance, Josh Call criminally charges Ron Johnson, Ron Johnson is convicted and has to go to prison. Believe it or not, he could theoretically still stay in the Senate. You wonder, though, at what point the Senate, the Republicans would throw him out, or the Democrats would bring a resolution to throw him out. But the problem is, you know, you have Bob Menendez in New Jersey. He has been charged, and he has been charged with taking money to represent Egypt, including gold bars, and he's not being thrown out. Now, it takes, first of all, a resolution. It doesn't happen automatically. Secondly, a lot of people are saying in the Senate, including Republicans, well, let's see if he's convicted, but he's not going to be convicted before the election next fall, and he said he's not running again. To throw someone out, it takes 67 votes in the Senate. Or it takes 2/3 votes in the House if it's a congressman, like if it were going to be somebody like Fitzgerald. Getting 2/3 of any chamber to do something is tough because it means you have to get a lot of votes from their own caucus. And so I would suspect that if Ron Johnson were prosecuted, he would not leave the Senate. And he, frankly, there's no way they get 67 votes because I don't think any Republicans would vote for it because nobody's done this about Menendez. Now, number two, then what happens? He's in for 5 more years. Somehow a lot of this stuff didn't get discussed in the campaign, which is terrible because it's a very close campaign. And I think if the people that were running it, the consultants and all that, had thought about it at all, they would have realized that what he'd done with fake electors and his attacks on democracy and his attacks on the FBI and the CIA and pro-Trump just hit that straight on. That wasn't done. That was not done. So he's in for 5 more years. Well, these things can drag out with appeals and all that. But if at some point he is tossed out, and I think if he were convicted at some point and went to prison, I think he would be thrown out. Then what happens is Tony Evers schedules an election. And probably to save money, it would be around another election, spring election or a August primary or November election. But that's what he would do. Now, as far as the regents rejecting the deal, and that is the subject of what I want to talk about right now. So I'm going to roll it all into one, Paul, in response to your question. The deal that the UW system struck with Voss had to be approved by the regents, because the fact is that, yes, we have a President Rothman of the system and we have chancellors and all that, but ultimately that's a policy decision by the regents. And they debated it very hotly, and by a vote of 9-8, they turned it down. So 8 regents wanted it, said they go along with it, 9 did not. And Dana Walks put out a statement, I thought it was a good statement, where he said, we're not, going to be railroaded on this. And there's a deeper issue, in my view, a deeper issue. who runs a university system? It has got to be regents and professors and administrators. This is Wisconsin. This is an honest state with a great educational system. The legislature has an important role. One role, of course, is providing money for the UW system. The other one is they get to approve the regents. So the next time there's a vacancy and a governor that they don't like, even though they're gerrymandered, and I don't think they're a valid legislature, but if they don't like a regent, they can refuse to endorse that regent. And so that is their proper role. But once there are regents that are endorsed, that are approved, that are confirmed, then it should be up to the regents. And for Voss to shoot his mouth off and say, well, that's it, and so bad, no raises, no engineering building. Consider what the regents did, what they turned down. And frankly, I do support what they did. First of all, it would have removed something like a third of the positions that are deemed DEI. DEI is a very, very vague term, slippery term. I agree that DEI positions that are being abused at Harvard and Stanford that are really basically used to exclude Jewish students that are anti-Semitic, they have no place in those institutions. And they have no place in ours. I do not believe we have those kinds of positions or people. I believe that we have a population that I would call first-generation college. And it's not exclusively racial. It's not exclusively ethnic. There are many of the kids who are African-American background, descent, Latino, Native American, Indigenous, rural, Northern Wisconsin, Western, rural. So having people who are available to counsel them, think of all the tens of thousands of students there are, to counsel them, to advise them on what courses they might want to take. Remember something. For those of us who are blessed to be born in families that stressed education, and I consider myself right at the top of that list, I have the most wonderful parents a boy ever had, I really do. Did my mom and dad spent all their time with us. They counseled us on things. But suppose you are in a family that a single mom is running the family and she's working two jobs and she herself never went to high school. And you're a smart kid and you end up at the University of Wisconsin and any of the campuses. You have no idea what course to take. You have no idea. To go in to a DEI counselor that says, we're glad you're here. We welcome you. How are you doing? What kind of activities are you interested in? What subject in high school did you really like? Oh, I liked history or I like math. Oh, okay. Well, here are some suggestions. And, you know, based on your board scores, I mean, some kids will start with elementary courses. That's exactly fine. Absolutely fine. That's number one. Number two, they vetoed, so to speak, or they wouldn't agree to the regents, was the creation of a professorship on conservative thought. That's something right in 1984. Let me tell you something. Among professors, I want the best professors, the best historians. I want the best professors of philosophy, of mathematics, of physics, of geology, of chemistry, of biology, of economics, of sociology. The best. Now, if you are the best, conservative thought doesn't come in mathematics. It is what it is. It doesn't come in physics. Quantum mechanics isn't conservative or liberal. It does come in history. It does come in literature. It does come in philosophy. But the best professors teach the whole range of thought. They don't just teach conservative or liberal philosophers or conservative or liberal historians. They don't do that. They don't, in economics, there are conservative economists and liberal economists. You teach them all. Any economist worth his salt has studied them all. The professor can say, I find this more persuasive. You may not. Read original sources. One of the things I always loved to do in history courses and at college was there'd be an original document. You know, read the Magna Carta, actually read the Declaration of Independence. And you hear a professor lecturing on what it says. I read the things. And in some cases, I agreed with them. In a lot of cases, I didn't agree with them. I thought, yeah, you can say that, but here's my impression. The whole idea of an education is to open up horizons that you never knew existed. And this legislature cheapens everything it touches because it's gerrymandered and it's trying to appease and appeal to a fringe that they don't truly understand. And I think they actually miscalculate their constituency. But there should not be a professor of conservative thought, liberal thought, any of that. There should be a professor of thought, period. Do your own thinking. I'm not doing your thinking for you. If I'm your professor, you know what I say? You know, Andrew of Detroit, he chuckles and says, professor. Well, no, I'm not a professor, but you know that I have a point of view. That this is talk radio. Some of you have a different point of view on some things. All points of view are welcome. But I also give you facts. And you can take those facts and you can say, yeah, Matt, but. And that's what I love. But what the Regents did, and then there's the engineering building, a lot of it was going to be paid by private donations, for Pete's sake. They did it out of spite. Now, LeMahieu, by the way, is for the raises. He is the majority leader of the Senate. And what's happened is that Tony Evers has brought suit on the wages because they were passed already. And Voss is simply saying that he and his committee get to have to approve it. There's nothing in the Constitution that says when the legislature passes a bill, a funding bill for raises, for instance, and the governor signs it, that's the law. You don't have some guy off on the side. Some guy who's afraid of Trump going, yeah, you know, maybe I'll stick it to him. That doesn't work. I think the raises will pass. The problem is they're not going to be current. They'll be retroactive. But I've talked to at least one chancellor who said, you know, this is really hurting the university because there are a lot of people saying, I like working for the university, but if I can get $25 an hour at Amazon or something, and they won't even give me a raise, I'm not sticking around. They badly hurt the university. The Republican Party has badly hurt the university. I understand why the Regents did it, because at what point do you stop? And do you, it's sort of like having Mike Johnson suddenly sitting there in your classroom saying, yeah, I don't agree with that. Or Voss, yeah, I don't agree with that. Well, it's because you don't understand that. What did you guys study? I don't know what they studied, quite frankly. If they had studied a full liberal arts curriculum, by the way, the word liberal arts is a praiseworthy term. It's been used forever. Some people say that an 18th century liberal is a 20th century conservative, 21st century. They don't know what they're talking about. They flat out don't know what they're talking about. So where do we go from here? Evers' lawsuit will result in those raises. However, it'll be 4-3. However, it's going to be a while, and these people will get a retroactive, you know, chunk of money. But this is not right. This is not right. LeMahieu, I hope, it comes out more forcefully. And secondly, there shouldn't be a professorship on conservative thought. And thirdly, these DEI positions in Wisconsin, this isn't the way they're doing it in the Ivy League, which is terrible. This is to help people who are first-generation collegians. That's what it is. Okay, coming up. This is great. Coming up. Trump's experts get $2 million. One of them gets almost $1 million, and you won't believe what it was for.
WAUK.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible.
My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Welcome back to Matthew and Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, this is amazing. This is amazing. Here's what Trump has done. By the way, he's not testifying today. He's not testifying today. And, you know, the cheap shot, you can say, oh, he chickened out. The truth of the matter is, he's a disaster. He's a walking crime wave. He is crime on the hoof. And if he gets on that stand, he's already testified once, he gets on that stand, and what is he going to say? Your experts said that the valuations were untrue. Are you going to contradict them? One of them then said, you didn't have fraudulent intent, which is not his area of expertise, and that is a legal question for the judge, not for an expert, and you're going to spout off. You're going to mouth off. And so he decided not to testify. But here are the facts. Here are the facts. And we don't need a professor of conservative thought. I'm going to give you the facts, and you decide what you want. That's the purpose of a liberal education. You're going to get it right now. Trump expert was paid about $900,000. $900,000. Reviewing a few financial statements, doing a deposition, and testifying at trial. When I was trying cases, even the most expensive expert in the most complicated case, it would be somewhere at $50,000, $75,000, almost $1 million. Who paid it? It was split between the Trump Organization and Trump Save America PAC. In other words, political donations to help him run for president. I've got news for you. That should be income to Trump. If he's dipping into his political donations for a personal reason, because he doesn't want to lose his wealth, he should pay income tax as having received that money. His PAC spent more than $20 million on Trump's legal fees in the first 6 months of 2023. More than $20 million. That's 2/3 of the PAC's total spending in those 6 months. Hey, paying Trump's legal fees, especially in a case that's trying to seize $250 million of his personal assets, that is a personal expenditure. That money should be reported as income. In fact, it must be reported as income. We'll see if he does. It's happening right now. The return will be filed in April. He'll put in for an extension. It'll be October. You know what he's trying to do. One of his experts, the big kahuna, was from NYU, a respected institution. Guess how much he charges an hour? $1,350. $1,350 per hour. And the way these guys operate, if the guy's shaving in the morning, he's thinking about the case, that's an hour. Or that's half an hour, and then brushing his teeth is the other half hour. As he thinks about it, he goes to bed. Here's what he said. He said, and he's got to live by this, he spent 650 hours on the case. Over 3 months, 50-hour work weeks, only on this case. A 50-hour work week is 7 hours at 7 hours a day. That's 49 hours, so a little over 7 hours a day. Every day for over 3 months. Do you really think he did that? A couple of financial statements. Do you really think he did that? I don't think he did that. At the end of it, he testified that, yes, there was untrue information on the financial statements. That's the ballgame. There's already been summary judgment entered against Trump on liability. This is on damages. How much? Letitia James wants $250 million. And his own expert, who said, I spent 7 hours a day, every day for 3 months. How many times did you read that financial statement, Jack? Letitia James says that's the ballgame, and she's right, because he said the information is false. But then he said, like, what? He's a psychiatrist. He goes, well, Trump didn't have a fraudulent intent. You must understand something. Intent cannot be testified to by any witness other than the person who claims he had the intent. You cannot put on an expert witness in a case to say that somebody else is lying or telling the truth. That is an invalid witness. It's invalid for this guy, no matter how much he was paid, to say that, well, I'm sure that Trump didn't mean anything bad about it, basically is what he said. And he did it because he wanted $1 million. He had two high-priced expert witnesses, another one. More than $2 million was paid on these witnesses, and they all admitted that the valuations were inflated on Trump's properties, that they were not proper or reasonable. I mean, for Pete's sake, they weren't proper or reasonable. For Pete's sake, Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bill?
Actually, I'm going to take a little bit of a turn from what you're talking about. I really think that when it comes to Trump, he's on such a walk, so far out on that plank, he can't walk it back anymore. I do really believe that. But here's what I am calling about. Robin Voss and what he's trying to do to our educational system here in Wisconsin. I think enough is enough. And everybody says, oh, what can you do? What can you do? You can do a lot. Our state has something, any state in the nation has something called a referendum. We can ask that he be removed from office for inadequate support of the taxpayers. We've got all the evidence in the world to produce it. If we had enough signatures, and we could get them, we can have, maybe get them through Civic Media Radio. He's gone. He's toast. If the taxpayers, just one person, I would do it if enough people sent him a letter, say, look, you've got two choices. Either you start working with the citizens of Wisconsin or resign and avoid embarrassment. Because he has just done this deal with the University of Wisconsin, the Regents. I just can't believe that people roll over and play dead when he does that stuff. What do you think, Matt? You're the legal authority. I need your opinion.
Yeah, well, first of all, you're absolutely right in the gist of what you say. He's cost us an engineering school, raises for 35,000 people, including janitors, and he's doing this just because, what, he wants to show off to Trump or whoever? Secondly, how to get recall? You can recall somebody, but the question of recalling him in that district is a gerrymandered right-wing district. A statewide recall, I don't think it would be a referendum, but I think that the recall process, realistically, I'm not saying it shouldn't be done, would be very, very difficult here. But everybody should listen to what Bill just said and what I'm saying here. This guy is putting a knife in the University of Wisconsin. Coming up, a lot more news and weather, and the president of the University.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Peter King. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky is in the U.S. lobbying for continued aid in his country's fight with Russia. Speaking at the National Defense University, he says any delay helps Russia's